This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 30th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 301. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And on the big deal feature, law and order. First, Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke broke her silence at the Surrey Police Board meeting a week after the NDP government ordered Surrey to replace the RCMP with the Surrey Police Service. Hear highlights of a tension-filled police board meeting. Then, hear RCMP Detective Bill Miker from a 2020 webcast. Miker was charged with intimidating an individual on behalf of the Chinese government. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. On July 21st, the RCMP announced retired Mountie Bill Miker had been charged with foreign interference offenses under the Security of Information Act. Miker was an undercover detective during his 1985 to 2007 career with the RCMP. He also unsuccessfully sought a Conservative Party nomination in Richmond in 2005. Miker later moved to Hong Kong to work in finance, and more recently worked for the government of China to recoup ill-gotten gains. Miker was released on bail on July 25th with numerous conditions. He is not to contact co-conspirator Kim Marsh, a former senior RCMP officer, or Ross Gaffney, a former FBI special agent in Miami. Miker and Gaffney were part of the team involved in the Operation Bermuda Short drug cartel and money laundering investigation more than 20 years ago. Miker described Gaffney as a mentor. They both appeared on a June 2020 webcast hosted by Robert David Steele, the late former CIA agent who promoted the QAnon conspiracy and died of COVID-19 in August 2021. The headline on robertdavidsteele.com: Wall Street's financial crime and money laundering is protected by congressional treason. The first voice is Robert David Steele, followed by Bill Miker.
Gentlemen, it's an honor to welcome you to this interview. You are two of the good guys. Law enforcement people with big hearts, lots of skills, who have been held back by a politicized system that is not working in the public interest.
People don't realize this, but Canadians are among the worst offenders for money laundering in the Caribbean and financial crime. Ross was already identifying and picking up on all that before I ever met Ross. And that was part of the introduction that was made for me to meet Ross, both as an undercover officer and as well as later as an investigator. So we learned a lot about our experience working together back, you know, here 2000, 1999, I think we started that project, and it ran till the arrests in 2002. And a lot of horrible things also happened during that investigation. Ross was the case leader, the supervisor of that investigation. So he can probably speak to it more so, but as an operator, and dealing with the bad guys, it was almost like shooting fish in the barrel. But then you realize not everybody wanted to catch fish in the barrel. They wanted to let a lot go for different reasons. And I think that was something that we really saw about how prolific and how advanced transnational crime, financial crime, just made a mockery of our laws, made a mockery of our borders. They just simply didn't exist. And there was nobody willing to pick up the mantle because our prosecution service wanted the easy way out. But it wasn't hard to catch these people, quite frankly. And it's not going to be hard to catch the people that are engaged in the massive frauds in the market today of naked short selling and the like. And I think to go forward, you almost have to go back to the era before 9/11, when all the investigators got sucked into this thing called counterterrorism. Where we were doing tremendous investigations into organized crime and financial crime. There was a knowledge base and a bandwidth, and you know, Ross and I, you know, a gray hair, But the skill set and the memory, just like muscle memory, you know when you hear something and see something, okay, this is a fraud. Of course, this is a fraud. But you don't have that today, not to the same degree, because people simply don't have that experience, which is probably a good time to turn it over to Ross, because he was a mentor to me at some points because of that vast experience he had in creating the White Collar Crime Task Force in the Caribbean. The Caribbean Financial Action Task Force with the UK government. That, again, we can win this war, but it's going to take us to come together and work with joint operations with international cooperation. That's the only way we're going to cut the head off this snake.
Former FBI Special Agent Ross Gaffney.
Bill spoke to it briefly about the power that the U.S. Attorney's Office and the prosecutors have in that Bermuda Short investigation, which, as Bill described, started as a stock manipulation case. And once we accidentally had a meeting with Bill's colleagues and discovered that they had some mutual targets that they were interested in, but that it actually opened up a whole new phase where the stock manipulation was being used as a vehicle for hundreds of millions of dollars that were being laundered on behalf of traditional organized crime, some non-traditional organized crime, both in Canada and the United States. So when we took on those additional cases, as Bill said, it was a target-rich environment, and the numbers of individuals that we had not only predicated, but that we had strong cases against rose to over 100. And arbitrarily, the chief of the economic crimes unit in Miami effectively said, no, we're going to cut it off at 58 and just let all of those other criminals go free. They wouldn't allow us to continue the operation and go after them. So those types of decisions, I think it's something that needs to be made in a different way, where the law enforcement agencies have at least an equal input as to the prioritization and base it upon what the current crime problem is and what you're able to accomplish in an efficient and effective manner. But don't just arbitrarily say that, oh no, we don't have enough time or we don't have enough prosecutors, you know, to do the numbers of people that you've already, you know, identified.
The interview with Miker happened the same week in 2020 as riots spread across the United States after the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Miker offered his theory about the root of the violence.
I think we have to recognize that, as unfortunately what we see for the last 8 days, this massive organized conspiracy of violence that is taking place across the United States. It's touching a number of different groups, but they all have one thing that links them all together. There's a Marxist sort of strain of ideology, as well as, you know, let's everybody go after President Trump because he is the enemy of the Uniparty. And we are the useful idiots of the Uniparty, and we're making it happen. I think there has to be a recognition. Go back to a level playing field. The most populist thing you can do, especially coming out of this economic catastrophe of COVID, is how do we put the money back in the hands of the people who ought to have it? That'll get your economy going faster than anything, rather than printing another $5 trillion. And you know, one thing that people are fundamentally missing here, you know, you've got everybody who appear anyways to hate the police at this point, Hollywood, the media, different political interests. And there's a rightful anger towards some policemen, no question. But not the majority of them. But remember this, policemen, firemen, other civil services, they're all relying on their 401ks, they're relying on their pension plans. That's gonna be their retirement for all the crap they have to put up with over 30 years. You know, what do you think is gonna happen when they realize that there's gonna start being clawbacks on a lot of their universal benefits for which they thought they were paying for the last 30 years of their work? Because these one percenters, the Wall Street crowd, the interchange between Wall Street and, you know, and Washington, either as Treasury secretaries or anything else, very self-serving, that my pension isn't there. So, okay, all you folks are angry about the conduct of some police, but we the police now, I'm going to take a knee. I'm going to become the protester. Why am I supporting this system that's, I'm on the ground floor, you're 50 floors up in your MoMA building or where else in New York, and you're not affected by what's happening 50 floors below.
There's a resource within Wall Street of people that right now I think are remaining silent because they see that corruption wins at virtually every level. If they honestly believe that there is going to be a true, meaningful, and quick cleanup of Wall Street, I think there will be a significant minority of people that will come out and they will help law enforcement to determine where the most egregious frauds are being committed. And they'll also show them the roadmap to the people that are responsible. And they can also help them to come up with the most efficient and cost-effective way to address it from a criminal prosecution, civil forfeiture, whatever the overall template is, there's a resource that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies could rely on right within Wall Street to help them effect that a meaningful change.
Those were clips from a June 2020 webcast on Robert David Steele featuring former RCMP Detective Bill Miker and former FBI Special Agent Ross Gaffney. You will hear more about Miker and Gaffney in the months to come. Miker's next court date is August 29th. Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke broke her silence. 1 week after NDP Solicitor General Mike Farnworth directed Surrey City Hall to proceed with phasing out the RCMP and building the Surrey Police Service over the next 2 to 3 years. Locke, who campaigned on a platform last fall to keep the RCMP, chaired the police board meeting on July 26th at Surrey City Hall. The tension in the room was obvious, as Surrey Police Chief Norm Lipinski and NDP government appointees to the police board were in attendance. Locke met with Farnworth on July 25th. She could still send Surrey City Hall lawyers to court in a bid to overturn the province's decision. During the new business portion of the police board meeting, Locke gave a speech about establishing confidence in the police board and the Surrey Police Service. She also sparred with two of the NDP-appointed board members near the end of the meeting, specifically Fraser Health Authority Director Chaney Cloak and Mina Broussard of the Hospital Employees Union.
I've asked that this be put on the agenda. I think it's important at this time, especially. I have picked out a couple of pertinent statements from the Board Governance Manual that I believe need to be restated and listened to. First of all is the vision. The Surrey Police Service is a progressive community-based police service that values diversity, partnership, and accountability as it works to enhance public safety and community well-being. I also wanted to recognize under values a couple of issues. One is honor. We serve our community with pride and we can be depended on to uphold the public trust in everything we do. Under respect, we recognize each person's inherent dignity and worth and work to building strong, healthy, collaborative relationships within our community and team. And I would ask that directors be cognizant of those words. These past months have been very difficult time as we move through this process, the one that we are in today. To date, this board has made it a deliberate position that they build a wall and even offend the city of Surrey through their work. That posturing must stop today. If you wish to debate me on policing issues, I will not only tolerate it, but I welcome it. Name the time and the place, and I will advocate my position as forcefully as you might challenge it. But I will not, however, disrespect you, nor will I ever allow you to disrespect me or any member of City Council, all of whom are upstanding members of our community, motivated entirely by the best interest of the residents of Surrey that saw fit to elect them. No one elected official or otherwise ought to be tolerating such behavior from the members of this board. With that, I ask that today is a day our obligation to this office we hold. We have much work to do as ambassadors to build the public trust and confidence. And I am committed to doing that, and I trust that everyone else here is as well. With that, I will go to the next meeting. Yes. Oh, sorry. Director Cloak.
Thanks, Chair Locke, for your comments. As Vice Chair, I just wanted to also close with a couple of comments. First, public trust and confidence in the board and SPS is of utmost and now importance. And now that we have certainty about the future, we can move forward with Chief Lipinski and his team. We're extremely proud of you, Chief, and everyone on the board and SPS for maintaining their professionalism through all of this uncertainty. We know that SPS has a number of plans in place to build relationships in the community, and we absolutely look forward to that. As an independent board appointed by the provincial government, we will continue to do our work of governing SPS professionally and impartially. The minister's decision was unequivocal. We will follow his direction. We know that Chief Lipinski and his team can deliver on building a world-class, leading-edge police service. We are looking forward for a template for change in Canada. Thank you.
Anybody, Director Broussard or Center? Okay.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I think Director Cloak covered it for all of us.
I don't know if she covered it for all of us. She covered it for herself. If you have something you'd like to say, Director Broussard, you can. Did the board get together and make that decision prior to this meeting?
No, Director Cloak covered my comments. Thank you.
Director Broussard. My question is, did this board get together prior to this meeting and make that decision? Members of this board
met before this meeting.
Director Broussard, I'm asking a question of Director Cloak, who is contradicting what you said. Director Joel.
I was not aware of any sort of meeting prior to this meeting, nor was I invited to any such meeting. So, okay. Oh, this is a communications committee. I see. Okay. You had referred to the board, so. Thank you.
They don't speak on behalf of the board, Director Cloak. I'm sorry. I hope you understand you made that decision, that comment on behalf of yourself, and apparently Director Broussard supported it. So with that, we will leave it at that. Can I have a motion to adjourn? Director Joel, Director Caruana, all in favor, opposed, carried.
That was Surrey Mayor and Police Board Chair Brenda Locke from a July 26 meeting of the Surrey Police Board, a week after the NDP government ordered Surrey to replace the RCMP with the Surrey Police Service.
News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In Central News Agency Taiwan, Chinese stowaway claimed to be free after swimming to Matsu. A Chinese man of about 40 years old was bitten by a bee in Matsu on July 24th and asked tourists for help. He was actually a Chinese stowaway. According to local sources, the man claimed that he wanted to go for freedom, so he swam for 10 hours from the Huangqi Peninsula to Matsu. In Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong court rejects government application for ban on pro-democracy protest song. The lyrics of Glory to Hong Kong, a song popularized during the 2019 extradition bill protests, contain the phrase, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our times," a slogan that was ruled to be capable of inciting secession during the city's first national security trial. The Department of Justice made the move following several mix-ups at international sporting events, when organizers relying on Google searches mistook the protest song for the official national anthem, China's March of the Volunteers. In ABC News Australia, Australian military band's performance at Chinese embassy hits wrong note with diggers. The RMC band played the Chinese and Australian national anthems at an event celebrating the 96th birthday of China's army. A spokesperson said defense values dialogue with the People's Liberation Army, but Shadow Defense Minister Andrew Hastie says Australia's troops, quote, shouldn't be used as props by Beijing. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Peacock Lane, Portland's famous Christmas street, celebrates 100 years. The lane is made up of four Tudor or cottage-style residential blocks in southeast Portland, between Stark and Belmont streets, and is home to one of the city's largest and most popular holiday lights displays. A dozen residents and Portland City Commissioner Dan Ryan gathered for cookies and iced tea in Christmas in July and then unveiled new historic Peacock Lane sign toppers. The neighborhood was added to the National Register of Historic Places after a 2017 campaign. In the Seattle Times, Seattle hosts a major trade summit with a long list of challenges. It's got the importance of Major League Baseball's All-Star Game and the anticipation of a Taylor Swift concert. The Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meetings will begin this weekend at the Seattle Convention Center and continue through August 21st. Honolulu, Palm Springs, California, and Detroit are the other locations for this year's ministerial summits. In the Victoria Times Colonist, cruise ship slowdowns good for environment, but not great for Victoria businesses. A new regulation requiring ships to slow down to reduce their carbon emissions means cruise ship passengers are spending less time in Victoria. Jeff Bray, CEO of the Downtown Victoria Business Association, said the cruise ship slowdowns mean thousands of passengers are disembarking after stores have closed. If a cruise ship arrives at 8 p.m., passengers won't be disembarking until 8:45 p.m., and they have to be back on the boat by 11:30 p.m., said Bray. About 320 cruise ship dockings with about 850,000 passengers are expected for Victoria this summer, worth about $130 million to the local economy. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the organizers of the Powell Street Festival in East Vancouver, a Vancouver tradition honoring the contributions of the Japanese-Canadian community. The 2023 version of the Powell Street Festival is August 5th and 6th. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 30th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 30th of July in 1962, Prime Minister John Diefenbaker dedicated the Trans-Canada Highway, which runs from St. John's, Newfoundland to Victoria, B.C., during a ceremony at Rogers Pass, B.C. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.